الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين ثم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وإذ قال موسى لقومه إن الله يأمركم أن تذبحوا بقرة قالوا أتتخذنا هزوا قال أعوذ بالله أن أكون من الجاهلين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه ثم أما بعد. We mentioned before that Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about the covenant, the mithaq, that was taken from them as the mountain of Tur was raised above them. And then Allah Azza wa Jal told them that they would have been destroyed had the favor of Allah not been upon them. Thereafter, He gave them a couple of big examples of what was part of that covenant. So we don't get the entire covenant here, we get glimpses of it. One of those glimpses had to do with them violating the matter of the Sabbath, Yom As-Sabt, the Saturday. Now another example of it is coming. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى لِقَوْمِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تَذْبَحُوا بَقَرَةً. And when Musa said, and I mentioned this to you before, when you see the words when in translation, it really means remember when, remind yourselves when. Musa alayhi salam said to his nation, no doubt it is Allah that commands you that you slaughter a cow. A couple of minor things here that are subtle things here. The first thing here is Musa said to his nation. Musa alayhi salam said to his nation. There's subtlety in the text. What is being alluded to here is you are no longer Musa's nation. He said to his nation, at that point they hadn't been expelled or he hadn't disassociated himself yet from them. Because a time will come when he will say, أَنَا بَرِيءٌ مِّنْكُمْ, I have nothing to do with you. I am completely disassociating myself to you, from you. And they were at that point, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, they were in that state. They were living as though Musa ﷺ had disassociated himself from them, even though they attribute themselves to him. Then he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ. إِنَّ means certainly. It's a very easy word in Arabic. I think a lot of people understand what that means. But it's used for very specific rhetorical purposes. It is used to remove doubt. Now the statement says, it is for sure Allah that commands you that you should slaughter a cow. Why should he assure them so much? Because to them, it's something that he's making up on his own. So he's making sure that what's in between parentheses rhetorically here is, it is for sure Allah that commands you that you should slaughter a cow. I'm not commanding you, it is Allah's command. I'm just delivering that command to you. Because they, you know, and this is the essence of hypocrisy. The essence of hypocrisy is, this man, this who is a messenger, I've accepted him as a messenger, but sometimes he makes me do things that he wants. They're not necessarily part of revelation, it's just he wants me to do them for his own personal, from his own personal will or agenda. And therefore I'm not going to follow those things. This happened with the messenger too, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You know, with Musa alayhi salam, this happened when they said, we won't accept what you're saying until we see Allah face to face. Remember that? In other words, when you tell us, I don't know if it's from Allah or not, but if you see Allah face to face, then okay, then it's a kind of a guarantee. And these are people who've already accepted him as a messenger. Can you believe that? In the case of the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the command for battle, the battle of Badr was first issued, this is the first major battle in Islamic history, when the command is issued, guess what the hypocrite said? Where is the ayah from the Qur'an? We don't see any ayah in the Qur'an telling us about battle. You just want to go for yourself. And this allegation was made again by the hypocrites at Uhud. Oh, he just wants us to go because he wants to acquire a lot of wealth. And so even in Surah Ali Imran, the next surah, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells, وَمَا كَانَ لِنَبِيٍّ أَن يَغُلَّ. It is not for a prophet, appropriate for a prophet to have worldly aspirations. That's not why he's telling you to go into battle. So this is a commandment from Allah. And Surah Muhammad came down, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, addressing this specific branch of hypocrisy. Just this, that you say no surah came down, that's why we're not going to follow. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَوْلَا نُزِلَتْ سُورَةٌ. How come no surah came down, they said. So this was a feature of hypocrisy. Now that's being manifest in their statement. So it is Allah who's commanding you that you should slaughter a cow. Just to give you a very brief historical synopsis of this event. Nothing detailed. What had happened is, among the Israelites, there was a dispute, and someone was killed. And what, now there are different narrations about who was killed, and those are not details that we should get into again, because Allah didn't go into those details, it's because we need to get the point. The gist of the story is someone was killed and nobody was familiar with or knew for sure who the murderer was. Right? And so this issue was becoming very, very big. to the point where there was going to be almost a civil outbreak. So the only way to resolve this was to find out who the murderer was. Now when they took this problem to Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam is given instructions by Allah, your solution to this problem, to find out who the murderer is, slaughter a cow. Okay? Now at first glance, what does slaughtering a cow have to do with solving a murder? They're completely unrelated things. So look at their response. They say, قَالُوا أَتَتَّخِذُنَا هُزُوَا. They said, do you take us for a joke? Do you think we're kidding you? In other words, do you think that we're a bunch of jokers, or do you think that you are, you know, making a mockery of us? Now, prophets alayhi salatu wasalam do not joke around in matters of Allah's commands. Now, messengers do have a sense of humor that is recorded and it's there. The messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to be humorous himself. There are many occasions where he laughed and made the Sahaba laugh and things like that. There are occasions of humor in other lives of prophets that are recorded in Quran as well. But when it comes to Allah's commands, that's not a joking matter. That is not a joking matter. Here, a very important lesson for all Muslims, especially in our time. There's a very deliberate desensitization of Muslims taking place. We don't see it at its face value because it's happening covertly. You know what it is? They'll make fun of a prophet. It won't even be Muhammad or Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They'll make fun of Jesus. They'll make fun of Musa alayhi salam. They'll make fun of Adam alayhi salam. They'll make fun of these prophets in their cartoons or stand-up comedy or whatever it is. And the first time you hear it, you'll be like, astaghfirullah, and you'll change the channel. The next time around, it's not that bad. It's okay. Actually, it's kind of funny. And then they'll keep crossing the line until they get to the messenger himself sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? And then they'll make one inappropriate remark about the messenger, and Muslims will be in an uproar. But then they'll let the Muslims yell and scream for a while. Then a couple of months later, they'll do something again. So they'll have the satanic verses back in the day in the 80s, right? Then a few years later, then we might have something like the Danish cartoon. Then a few years later, there's the South Park bear is going to be there. And there's going to be like every few months, there's going to be something. And then what happens is, the first time you yell and scream, the second time you yell and scream, the third time you get a little tired. And you're not, what's being done is you're slowly being dulled. You're being dulled, your reactions are being dulled out, right? And it's a very measured mechanism by which you can desensitize a nation to the point where they're like, what's the point? You know, and you just become completely desensitized. If you understand that this is the game, then you don't fall into the game. But you first have to understand the game is being played with us. A lot of Muslims don't think of street smarts, you know. We don't think of how these games are being played with the ummah and its sentiments at large. First of all, our reaction is not supposed to be emotional. Our reaction is supposed to be intellectual. And it's supposed to be in language. You know, if somebody uses language that hurts you, you have to use language back, civilized language back, but you have to hit them where it hurts. When they hit you where it hurts you, you hit them where it hurts you. Now, to give you an example, though I don't claim to have the solutions, the language of this country is lawsuits. It's spoken better than English, okay, in this country. So when people say something about Allah's Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or somebody even messes with you a little bit at your job, you're going for vacation and some coworker says to you, oh, you're going for terror training? Haha, just kidding. Immediately lawsuit, defamation. Immediately. So they know not to mess with us. They know, because this is the only language they understand, the language that costs dollars, US dollars. That's the only ideology in this, among the people who do this. And by the way, even if you study the strategy of those who did the South Park cartoon and whatnot, you know what their strategy was? Their cartoon ratings were going down. You do this, what's going to happen? Advertising money, they're on the news, everybody wants to watch the video, etc., etc., and the ratings go back up. We gave them the popularity. We handed it to them. Who was going to buy Salman Rushdie's book? The guy's a joker. Who was going to buy his book? The only thing that increased his sales is us, is our reaction to him, you know? And now on the contrary, look at one of the more intelligent responses. There was attempts in New York City to make a progressive or enlightened, reformed version of Islam where women lead prayer and things like that. You must have heard about that. Though the sister, from what I've heard, has made istighfar since and has retracted her position on the issue, the one who led the Jum'ah prayer and whatnot. Initially, Muslims were going crazy and this and that and the other. But the Muslims in New York, guess what? There's a bunch of idiots. Let's just, you know, don't pay them attention because that's all they live off of. So they stop paying attention. And guess what? disappeared. Now, that group even had a falling out within. The only thing unifying them was they made themselves appear like victims of this mass, you know, effort of the Orthodox Muslims that are trying to undermine their heroic efforts of reforming Islam. Muslims didn't pay attention and all their momentum was gone. We have to learn to, first of all, pick our battles, and when we pick them, we have to fight them intelligently. We have to fight them intelligently. And this is something we have to learn to adapt. We can't be like guinea pigs. I can bet you they can have meetings where they say, when we do this, when we publish this cartoon, or air this episode, or make this comment on TV, etc., etc., I can tell you right now what their reaction is going to be. They've got us figured out better than lab rats, you know? So we have to be a little smarter and understand when these things are happening. Now, the reason I brought all of this up, messengers don't make jokes in regards to commandments. So when they said, are you taking us as a joke? What's the response of Musa alayhi salam? قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ First thing, I seek refuge in Allah. What does that tell us? That tells us that making jokes in regards to commandments of Allah is something very serious. And if you're engaged in it, you better seek the protection of Allah, because that can only be from shaitan. And then he says, أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ I seek Allah's protection, His refuge, that I might become from those, now the translation says ignorant, but jahil, part of the meaning of jahil is ignorant. But that's also ghafil, heedless, ignorant. Jahil actually is the opposite in Arabic of aqil. It's the the lid of aqil. Aqil in Arabic means someone who has control over their emotions. Jahil means someone who has no control over what they say and what they do. They have no restraints on them. So Musa alayhi salam says, if you think I am joking with you about what Allah commanded, then that would be an act of jahil. That would be an act of lack of restraint. I seek Allah's protection from ever being that way. قَالَ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ Once again, and my final point about this, to relate something as a lesson to what we're facing right now. Among Muslims, especially among youth, certain things have become a joke. And they've become a joke with us, with American Muslim youth, because we see them as a joke in the larger society. For example, even in elementary school, and I'll just come out and say it because you guys have to know this stuff, jokes about homosexuality are common. It's a joke. You're acting gay, don't be gay, this and that, you're such a homo, etc., etc. You know, that's what she said. These kinds of jokes that have to do with fornication, adultery, homosexuality, these are common jokes. It's considered small talk. It's not a big deal. Are these serious matters of crimes as far as our deen is concerned? They're very serious. The first line of defense, the first crack, when you stop taking something seriously is when you can joke about it. If you can joke about it, it's an indication you no longer take it that seriously. So when the society jokes about it, you know, homosexuality was actually entered into mainstream culture in America. If you studied history, it was entered by means of comedy. It was entered by that means. First it was something to be laughed at and laugh about, and it was entertaining, and eventually just became so much so a part of, you know, the culture, that it's kind of crazy. You know, a friend of mine was playing basketball the other time in New York City, in Queens. He's playing ball and somebody called a foul, and the other guy says, "Man, you're being gay." And the guy goes, "What's wrong with that?" And he starts like getting angry. This is how crazy it's become, you know. But our children, Muslim children, don't think they're immune from these things. They hear these things all the time. They see them all the time. So when this happens to them, they make jokes about these things that in and of themselves are completely and utterly unacceptable in Islam. And this would be an act of jahil. Because the first thing is to be able to joke about it. And once that line has been crossed, you don't know where it goes eventually. Because now that thought has become common. And these utterances have become common. The things you say a lot are the things you think about a lot. And when you think about something a lot, it influences you. You know, it influences. This is why we have to have very strict sensitivity in regards to what we allow ourselves and our children to say. And especially youth, sometimes even religious youth, make these kinds of jokes, not realizing the potential harm they're doing to themselves and the environment around them. Because they say it's harmless. Everybody's doing it. Everybody has these kinds of jokes. It's not a big deal. Well, it is. So أَنْ أَكُونَ مِنَ الْجَاهِلِينَ Then of course, the final lesson here in what the story is that's going to continue is, they are taking Musa alayhi salam as a joke. Musa alayhi salam is not the one taking them as making the jokes. They're the ones making a mockery of Musa alayhi salam. The commandment is very strict, very straightforward and simple. Slaughter a cow. End of story. Okay, fine. They're going to go and slaughter a cow. No, they come back and they say, قَالُوا دُعُوا لَنَا رَبَّكَ يُبَيِّ لَنَا مَا هِيَ go call on your master for us especially, and why don't you clarify for us, what is it? What kind of cow is it? And you know, you can even almost imagine in the language that they're like knocking each other with their elbows going, yeah, let's go ask them. What, give me some details. What kind of cow? It's not very clear. Can you give us some more details? Now, this illustrates one, that they're actually stringing Musa alayhi salam along, trying to make a joke out of Musa alayhi salam. The other thing, the second thing this illustrates is they don't want to do it. And if you don't want to do something, you know what you can do? You just ask a lot of questions about it. And you can do this even at work. You try it, it works. Or your boss asks you to do something, you start asking a lot of questions, you say, forget it, I'll do it myself. Right? So the idea is you ask too many questions because you don't want to do it. So they say, what kind of cow is it? And so Musa alayhi salam tells them, قَالَ إِنَّهُ يَقُولُ. Now this is amazing. Musa alayhi salam didn't say, it is this kind of cow, this kind of cow, this kind of cow. Musa alayhi salam says, for sure it is Allah, it is He who says, it is Allah who says. Ulama comment about this, that whenever they would ask Musa alayhi salam, what kind of cow, he would have to travel up to the mountain of Tur and engage in conversation with Allah Azza wa Jal and ask, get the answer to their question, and then come back from travel and then tell them, Allah says, this is a cow, لا فَارِضٌ وَلَا بِكْرٌ عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ. It is not too young, or it's not too old. So, you know, and so it's, you know, the best time to slaughter a cow is in its middle age. It's the most meat and it's not old and it's, it hasn't become weak, right? So it's not too young and it's not too old. It's right in between. عَوَانٌ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ فَافْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. Just do what you've been told. And they, here I'll end with this. Allah, Musa alayhi salam didn't say, اِعْمَلُوا. Commit or do. He said, فَافْعَلُوا. فِعِل. You know, in Arabic there are two words for action, to do something. It's fi'il and amal. So why does he use fi'il, why not amal? Amal is something that requires thought. You know, breathing, you don't think about it. Man, I really think I should exhale now. You don't think about it, it just happens. So this is not a amal, this is a fi'il. When you take steps and you're walking, this is not a amal, this is a fi'il. But when you're driving and you're changing lanes, or you're taking the exit, or you're taking a left and a right, or indicating, this is what? This is amal. You're thinking about it, you're consciously making a decision to do this, that, or the other. He tells them, this command, you don't even have to think about it. It should be just a fi'il. It doesn't even have to be a amal. If فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْبَرُونَ. Stop asking questions, stop overthinking it. Just do what you have been commanded. Do what you have been commanded. فَفْعَلُوا مَا تُؤْمَرُونَ. We'll continue inshallah ta'ala the rest of this conversation. Musa alayhi salam and Allah azza wa jal has Musa alayhi salam, Allah gives Musa alayhi salam answers, and Musa alayhi salam communicates the answers to Bani Israel, and they respond to him. We'll continue this conversation inshallah ta'ala next time. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الحكيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات وذكر الحكيم.